age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD, doctor, now can you tell me?
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. We're going to empower you. That's what we like to do. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show, and thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We are going to be talking about the brain chip technology. It's kind of taken a turn, so we're going to look at that. Also, we're going to be talking about depression and some other things and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer and hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face. Hope you are too. And today's devotional is puts us in Hebrews chapter 10, where if you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And in Galatians 6, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. So, you know, mind the time, it grows short. Seek the Lord's face, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thanks, Frank. First up in the Quack Report, they say the proteins that they think are responsible for Alzheimer's disease, well, they've been mapping the brain and looking for these proteins. They say now, this is out of the UK, researchers there are saying that patients who do have Alzheimer's disease showed at least one region of the brain that succeeded in not having these proteins. So the cerebellum is the part of the brain where apparently it's not affected by Alzheimer's. And the cerebellum is the area of the brain that controls a lot of your movements, your body movements. So they think the brain region may have some natural defense compounds against Alzheimer's proteins. And of course, it won't spread to the other areas of the brain. So apparently in the UK, they've got like 500,000 people with Alzheimer's, but in the United States we have 5.7 million with Alzheimer's. Moving along in the Quack Report. If you've been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, new research out, let's see, where is this out of? This is, Los Angeles, California. They say you may want to get a second opinion if you got a diagnosis of MS. They say a lot of people get diagnosed incorrectly. Nearly 18% of patients in this one study received the wrong diagnosis. So according to Cedars-Sinai researcher Dr. Marwa Casey, who says the diagnosis of multiple sclerosis is tricky. Apparently she says the symptoms need to be confirmed through MRI testing and some other tests because they can mimic other conditions like stroke, migraine headaches, and even vitamin B12 deficiency. So you better get a second opinion. Last but not least in the Quack Report, here's something that Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine took time and money to find this out. They wanted to know how your lifestyle impacts your immune system function. Their report did get published in the Alternative and Complementary Therapies Journal. So this is what they came up with in the end results. Lifestyle behaviors do contribute to having a healthy immune system, which would include regular exercise, a healthy diet, 7 or more hours of sleep, avoid smoking, limit the alcohol intake, and learn to deal with your stress, manage it and with techniques in a productive manner. So there you go. Like we didn't already know that. And that wraps the Quack Report. All right, thanks, Frank. Okay, so we're going to be talking about this. This is kind of bizarre, this segment. Okay, I'll just warn you. Brain chip technology. Hey, they're using it in the military. Okay, guinea pigs, military folk. There's been a lot of talk over the last decade of interfacing chip technology with human brain, to improve function and speed. Now, one startup company is called Kernel. And it's been working on interfacing microchips with human brains. Now, science and technology companies, look at these types of ventures as making improvements on creation without really recognizing the implication of their actions. Now, of course, the world is being told, though, this is breakthrough technology. It's going to help medical science to defeat a lot of diseases. But really, the underlying goals really is to evolve the human body and create what is really a superhuman capability. So we're going to look at this, okay? From the horse's mouth. I'm not making this up. This is from the founder of Kernel, Brian Johnson. He says, "We are unlocking the true potential of the mind, and it is the single greatest thing humanity can achieve," end of quote. And then on Kernel's website, they have posted, "To further explore our human boundaries and through new technologies to emerge as a success we were meant to be," end of quote. Well, talk about, spitting on God's creation, really. And then, the thing is, with this new technology, where they want to go with it, I mean, it's amazing. This other goal of the brain chip technology is to take the human brain to cognitive capabilities not known to man. Okay, so the tech world is calling this cognitive enhancement. And they hope to have all these features to enhance the human mind available by the year 2030. Now, the first implants are going to be available sooner, but they got to work all these bugs out, and they need to improve on certain things as they go along. So they fully expect that these implants will provide people with, are you ready? Here's the list. Perfect memory or photographic memory. Ability to delete memories at will, just like if you were to delete a file on your computer. Increase learning speed. Improve brain-to-brain communication or mind reading. Telepathic communication, and also brain-to-computer interfaces. So here's a quote from DARPA. They've been working on this. The interface would serve as a translator conversion between the electrochemical language used by human neurons in the brain and to that of ones and zeros that constitute the language of information and technology. End of quote. So, well, you know, a lot of this to me is going beyond imagination. So the research of this kind of technology can, well, it's wide open to man's imagination. It's almost as if they want to build these chips with hologram capabilities where the person can just think of what it would have been like to step back in time to experience a historic event. So they want this brain chip technology to be able to take your mind there. So we are hearing conversations in the technology world of making chip devices that can provide what is called mental experiences. It almost sounds kind of like the brain chips will replace street drugs for a mental trip. And then there's this question if the technology will give an edge to wealthy individuals that could afford the chips. However, now the scientists are responding to that with this comparison. They say the brain chips will be as common as smartphones. Ready for that, Frank? You know, have a smartphone in your head, I guess. Just dial it by thinking about it. Now, the question I have is, how are they going to get the chip in the brain, right? Not everyone can afford or is comfortable with or is healthy enough for brain surgery. How are they going to get it in there? Well, always a good question. Here's a quote from Dr. Kiwon Kim, MIT. He says, ultimately, we want the brain chip to be as big as a fingernail to replace one big supercomputer. Wow. A supercomputer in your noodle, Frank. I don't know if the world's ready for that. Is it? Well, we got some comparisons coming up, some questions to ask. I mean, it's always interesting. Frank says, and in 10 years when they all start dropping dead from brain cancer, we'll wonder what it was. Yeah, you got a good point there. We're going to touch on some of that in a minute. Well, they're experimenting with the military right now. In September 2019, there was this neuroscientist, Dr. Moran Cerf, Northwestern University, stated that they're developing brain chips to be used by the military, and the brain chip device is the creation of Professor Michael Kahana at the University of Pennsylvania Medical Technology. His research has been funded by DARPA, the American Defense Advancement Research Project Agency. Now, according to Dr. Cerf, the chips are non-invasive and will improve the recipient's IQ. Frank, pay attention. IQ time. We're told that the average IQ is 100, and anyone that has 160 or above is considered a genius, right? Okay. So the brain chips now, they're calling these smart chips, by the way. We're told they're going to offer the recipient an IQ of 200. 200. I know. Frank says, and I'll be the smartest one in the cemetery. Yeah, putting flowers on their grave, right? Now, Dr. Cerf says smart chips are on the fast track to be available to the public within about 5 years. Are you prepared? Prepare yourself, Frank. 5 years. Now, Dr. Cerf says that the individual who has a smart chip will have the advantage over those who do not. Now, he anticipates people with the smart chip to be smarter, faster, healthier, wealthier over the average IQ person has no chip at all. Well, we'll see about that, won't we, Frank? Here's a quote from DARPA. They say, this is a quote from Extreme Tech Magazine Journal, January 2016. They say DARPA has devoted $60 million in making these chip implants wideband brain-computer interfaces. Wow, $60 million. Wow, can you imagine what you could do with $60 million bucks, Frank? I can. Well, what you're not going to be told. Let's go over that one. This is always the good part. Thinking outside the box, asking the important questions, kind of connecting the dots. According to this research, most people interested in having super mind capabilities and the advantage over the average person will most likely not be told all the risks. Now, brain chip technology will utilize wireless wave frequencies or 5G. How would you like to have a bunch of 5G just like streaming through your head there, Frank? Right? Conductor chips. Oh, this creates convenience, obviously, but also vulnerability. Do you want to know the list of vulnerabilities, Frank? Frank says it doesn't matter how big your smart potential is if all you listen to is idiotic propaganda. Well, this is true. Yes. I can't complain with that. Well, here's the starter list of what you're not going to be told probably about your new supercomputer smart chip brain interface. It's a long title. Here's the list. The risk of mind control through these chips is very likely, possibly by artificial intelligence. Man, you talk about having your head being, what do they call it? Hacked. You get your brain hacked by an interface by an artificial intelligence robot. Think about this. I know this is so crazy. This is like, something sci-fi would put. But how about this? Electromagnetic radiation. You were just talking about the cancer factor, Frank. Electromagnetic radiation to the brain, increasing your risk of brain tumors. So you were right about that. Also, the risk of electromagnetic pulse weapons. There are a number of reports on how EMPs will disrupt medical equipment and implant devices. So the brain chips may be able to run off the brain's 100 billion neurons, but that is a very low electrostatic current, and it's not going to provide enough juice to perform the more complex computations and ultra-human functions that the scientists want these chips to provide. So that's going to require additional current flow, and the more current flow you get, the more you're going to be exposed to the damage if there's an EMP, electromagnetic pulse. So there is risk that a nuclear bomb can trigger strange and devastating events that scientists know are going to fry electronics. So if such devices are in your brain, there's a risk of brain damage, and it's similar to an EMP. So scientists call these effects, get this, the damage zone, which would include your mind if a brain chip is in there. Your head is the damage zone, Frank. What do you like that title? So, yes, electronics would be neutralized from an EMP, and the wave shocks the electronics. So brain chips, they're going to have semiconductors in them. And EMPs, all the EMPs aside, hey, I wonder what would happen should a person with a brain chip get tasered. What would happen to them? You ever think about that? Or shocked, with paddles, clear. What would happen to them? Right? Frank says, and what will prevent a non-chip man from having what? Handheld EMP device to burn down Mr. Chip there. Oh, yeah. Well, it may come to that, right? But, seriously, if you get tasered and you have one of these chips, what might that happen? Would the chip in your head explode? you know? So it's like a bullet from the inside of your head, right? Yeah, the police will have them, right? Well, let me read you some quotes here. Here's a quote from Soft Machines Brain Chips, March 2007. Okay, a little while back there. It says the central ingredient to the brain chip approach is a field effect transistor, which is graded by the simulation of the nerve cell it is in contact with. So, for instance, the current passes between the source and the contacts of the transistor depends on the voltage state of the membranes in the contact with your chip. Nanotechnology will be the future of brain chips, end of quote. And here's a quote from Business Insider 2017. They say when EMP passes through a metal object, they catch an incredibly powerful pulse. Right? So this generates a rogue current of electricity that moves through the device's circuits, disrupts or destroys them. There is a risk of an overload from the excess current, and it can produce sparks. And a very small example is if you turn on your microwave and you notice your smartphone's Wi-Fi connection momentarily drops out. That is an electromagnetic wave. An EMP would be thousands of times greater, end of quote. So think about that in your head. I'm like amazed they're going there, you know. So how are they going to get the power that they need to the brain chips to function? That's a good question, right, Frank? How are they going to do that since your, you know, brain cells are kind of not powerful enough? Well, it's called neuromorphic computing. I never heard about this, but I just learned about it. It's essentially a chip that mimics the brain where data is processed and stored, and it taps into this artificial synapse that can accumulate and integrate bits of information from any source to work like a biological counterpart. This is where the speed and the IQ benefits would come in. It's called neuromorphic computing, Frank. Wow. Right? Is this just moving with lightning speed or what? This area of science. I'm like, Well, and you know what? Medical patients are probably going to line up for this. I'm not kidding. There have been a handful of patients that have been participating in brain chip research. The military is the next big group that they're going to experiment on. So in healthcare, the chips will be recommended for those with, let's say, the following health issues: seizures, paralysis, post-traumatic stress disorder, stroke patients, and head trauma patients. So they're going to, you know, recommend these folks get a chip, make them right as rain. Ta-da. Well, but you know what, Frank, DARPA had a revelation. I got to tell you about this. DARPA has revealed some interesting extras that the brain chips will offer for those wanting information. They intend to tap into the brain chip to acquire the individual's sensory input and output. So, in other words, they will analyze your mind and compare the information it harvests about your environment and your life to a much larger, and they're going to send it to a much larger database, and they're going to be able to do this in real time. So they will see this information. They will sell this information to businesses. So here, let me give you an example. If your local utility company wants to know how much energy it's going to need to provide for any given day, it can ask for an analysis. And those with the brain chips would provide information such as if they plan to be in town, if they're going to be at home, if they're going to be doing laundry, etc. Water companies could use the same information, too, to see if you'll be home watering your lawn or washing your car. And they are calling it remote I.O. for input-output. And so the folks at Extreme Tech, you know, they're warning the people. They're saying these same people that want this information, these are the ones that use warrantless wiretapping. And they're encouraging people to go ahead and get brain chip implants. So they're warning people that your life will not be your own. You won't be alone in your head even. I know this is kind of scary and spooky to me. So here's another question I have. I'm always asking questions. That's just what I do. Something tells me that if the brain chips can offer superhuman capabilities and intelligence, I doubt that the people in power want faster, smarter citizens. You know what I mean? So if brain chips are offered for, let's say, medical reasons, it will be on a limited basis and only for those that can afford it. If brain chips were offered to the masses at an affordable price, it would come with, I think, a remote shutoff switch. What do you think, Frank? You know, I would think that brain chips will be like all other implants. They're going to have serial numbers identifying the individual it was implanted into. So, but, you know, could come with an off switch, shut off your potential capabilities if they think you're a risk, right? What do you think? Maybe. I mean, if they can tap in real time, find out what you're doing, I think they could just shut that puppy off, right? Little Wi-Fi wireless in your home, just use that, and bam, all of a sudden, you're stupid. Right, Frank? Can you imagine? Can you imagine being given a lecture and then all of a sudden you forget what you're doing? Oh yeah, they can kill you with it too, I'm sure. I mean, you know, they don't need an EMP, do they? Well, look at this, folks, as a shot across the bow, because all the new technology is really not for everyone. It can be a warning to mankind. Technology is, it has this two-edged sword. It's kind of similar in principle to pharmaceutical drugs, which may take away your original problem, but is going to produce a different problem and maybe a more severe one. So technology convenience creates a greater dependence on something else. And the more advanced, the more vulnerable we become. So for those who have eyes to see, a lot of what is coming out of the halls of scientific research is kind of mind-blowing. And something good can be used for evil. An example is the gene editing tool, originally intended for good, but now being used to create animal-human hybrids. So we have to be on our toes. We have to ask questions. And we have to see the bigger picture. And there is a reason man was created the way he is and not with superhuman capabilities. We are created to look to and depend on God and not to our own devices. So recreating man to be a God is how past civilizations got into serious trouble, right? So I prefer to use foods, spices, medicinal herbs to sharpen my God-given capabilities. And there are herbs to improve memory, immune system, cardio system, reproductive system, metabolic system, and more. So we're already blessed with improved function using natural medicine. We have been given a lot of power over our health using nutrition, and it's time we tap into the concentrated nutrients only medicinal herbs can provide. So if you want to learn how, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call at 866-229-3663. Visit them on thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Well, we got to take a little break, but we'll be back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. 929-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs.
007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Go green. Herb Talk Live, green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free, 866-229-3663, or international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Frank, for playing some interesting bumper. We're going to be talking about, for the second part of the show, we're going to be talking about depression and how it's linked to sleep apnea. Interesting stuff, because depression in the United States has become a problem for many. About 18.8 million American adults are suffering from some type of depression. And, you know, shutting off depression with the mind-altering drugs is really stuffing those feelings, and you're really not getting at the cause of the depression. So scientific medicine will promote, you know, one new drug after the other to help manage the depression. However, some forms of depression are really treatment-resistant with drugs, and people want a cure rather than just manage their depression with a line after line of bottles of medication. So lately, medicine is discovering that a condition such as depression can be from things like dehydration, or it could be one of the organs not functioning well. So we're going to take a look at what science is now saying, links between depression and also now the sleep apnea scenario. Here is a quote from Ann Lander. She said, "People who drink or pop pills to drown their sorrow should be told that sorrow knows how to swim." Well, that's a good point, you know, because if we were if we were concerned enough to get depressed in the first place, we should be concerned enough to figure it out and get undepressed. So we're going to look at depression signs. The definition of depression is a depressed mood or loss of interest in normal activities, usually for the 2 consecutive weeks. If, you know, once you hit that mark, then they start to think, okay, you're clinically depressed. And so if you're clinically depressed, it tends to impact your social and professional life. Other symptoms that tend to manifest with depression are going to be sleep disruption, appetite changes, weight changes by about at least 5%, fatigue, energy loss, concentration problems, decision-making problems, memory issues, and suicidal thoughts. Well, in the American culture, we tend to kind of tiptoe around people that have depression. And you may know someone, maybe at your workplace, maybe at your church, any given special social encounter, you may know somebody. But typically we tend to give these people special considerations. Now, obviously there are protocols and policies in place now to kind of delicately handle these issues, and we want the best for the person who's suffering from depression. But as with most things, there is room for abuse there, and are we, you know, enabling them to continue to be depressed rather than help them find a solution? Now, I once knew of a middle-aged adult who suffered from a manic depression disorder. He did refuse a counseling, and he did refuse drug therapy. He really didn't want any treatment whatsoever. So this person really didn't do anything to address their mental state. And this forced others that were living in that family unit to have to put up with his bad behavior. So statistically, 37% of adults with depression do not receive treatment at all. About 6% will use medication to handle their depression, and fewer than that will receive treatments with current medical guidelines and therapy and other management tools. Here's a quote from Nick Hornby, member High Fidelity. He said, "It's brilliant being depressed. I can behave as badly as I like." That's because you're given a pass by society typically. People just don't know how to handle it, you know. Well, let's look at some drug therapies. It's kind of understandable why some people would reject the drug therapies medicine prescribes for depression. Prozac, made by Eli Lilly Company, is a neurotransmitter anesthetic. Prozac produces the same effect on the body as amphetamines or speed would because it increases the adrenaline level. So how does it do that? Well, adrenaline and amphetamines are chemically almost identical. And the difference between amphetamines and Prozac is that the amphetamines mimic a body function if they're given in large enough doses, and Prozac forces the body to increase its own production of adrenaline. So Prozac eventually burns out the organs that are making adrenaline, which would be what? You know, they sit right on top of your kidneys, adrenaline, right? Yeah. And so some of the burnout effects would be your inability to read or inability to write, inability to hold a thought long enough to keep a job, or even loss of comprehension, you know, where you don't remember. So Prozac affects your neurotransmitters, serotonin, and serotonin is affected by the adrenaline level in the body. Now, excess adrenaline causes depression. So Prozac raises the adrenaline level so high that it has the opposite effect and works like an anesthetic on your brain. So just 1/13 of a milligram of Prozac doubles the body's adrenaline level. So Prozac actually magnifies depression, but your brain is so anesthetized with serotonin, it doesn't care. Does that sound like a real good way of going around to heal somebody of a problem? That's almost like exploiting somebody's problem. Well, and this is a dangerous situation too, because millions of people have a new prognosis on these type of drugs. It's called apathy and indifference. It's almost like they're separated from their consciousness or their soul or something. See, you know, they just don't have any compassion for anybody. Well, let's look at the condition link. In the June 2019 Journal of the Psychiatric Research Journal, physicians at the Medical College of Georgia at Augusta University suggest that depression can stem from other conditions, maybe like heart disease and sleep apnea. And you know what? I see a lot of connections between high blood pressure and sleep apnea. So there is a statistical connection between patients that have sleep apnea and high blood pressure and maybe high cholesterol or heart disease in general, and also are suffering from some level of depression. They found particularly where overweight males, where they were concerned, about 14% of them may not fit the profile for the clinical depression, and they should really look at another cause. So this could explain why the depression drugs aren't working for some of these people. They also found that sleep apnea occurs in about 50% of the patients that do have depression and who do not respond to the traditional drug therapies. So this study suggests that sleep disruption may be the key to symptoms of depression and maybe even your blood pressure problem. And why do we have sleep apnea? Well, a lot of times it points all the way back to the thyroid gland, which regulates a lot of metabolic function. Here's a quote from Dr. Vaughn McCall, Department of Psychiatry and Health Behavior, Medical College of Georgia, Augusta University. He says, "We know that there is hidden causes of sleep apnea in people who are depressed and suicidal." He goes on to say, "Testing and treatment for sleep apnea should be part of the guidelines for managing treatment-resistant depression." And finally, he says, "It can be very simply that if you don't sleep, you don't get depressed, and depression is a major risk for suicide." So sleep deprivation, he's saying, could be the underpinning for suicide behaviors. All right, so let's look at the depressed drug risk, because according to Dr. McCall, treatment-resistant depression can also be the result of drug side effects from heart and blood pressure medications like your beta blockers or rheumatoid arthritis drugs or corticosteroids that are given for like conditions of lupus. So always look at your drug therapy. And I was just talking to a lady today, Frank, that she was on this inhaler type of medicine for emphysema. She's been on it a year, and she only knew of the common side effects. So I told her you can find out all the side effects in your physician's desk reference. And of course, you know, older people don't usually have computers. Most of them don't. So I said, go to your library or to your local bookstore. They sell them there. Look up your drug by name, and it'll have all the side effects. It'll have the major, the common, the not so common, the rare, and the serious side effects. It'll all be listed there. And a lot of times if you do have a computer, you can find that out also on the internet. So please do your homework on stuff, you know, because she had quite a few symptoms from the list I was reading off from what I pulled up on the internet. All right, so let's look at the sleep link for a sec, because according to the American Sleep Apnea Association, 22 million Americans suffer from sleep apnea, and we're told 80% of those with sleep apnea have moderate to severe symptoms. And there are a few different types of sleep apnea. If you suffer from this, you can have episodes of not breathing hundreds of times per night, and this produces poor sleep quality. And the greater risk is to your health occurs during the deepest part of your sleep. With the rapid eye movement, you can stop sleeping. But this pushes up the adrenaline level because you stop breathing and the body reacts and you wake up suddenly in a big gasp of air. And this, according to medical science, hurts the heart. It damages the heart. So look into that. Sometimes you have to go to a sleep clinic to get adequately diagnosed with sleep apnea, and that would probably be worth it to at least know what you're dealing with. The American Sleep Apnea Association does say that sleep apnea produces that reduction in oxygen which starves the blood and the cells and produces additional physical conditions and stress on the heart. So sleep apnea can be dangerous, have other health complications, and if you don't address it, it could be fatal. So some of the symptoms that you may have sleep apnea, other than very loud snoring, and if you have somebody at your house, they could probably confirm that for you. So some of the other symptoms, if you wake up with a headache because you haven't had enough oxygen to the brain, you'll get a headache. Heart attacks are involved with sleep apnea, as well as high blood pressure, heart failure, AFib or heart flutters, stroke, type 2 diabetes, depression, sleep deprivation, lack of energy, loss of concentration and coordination, as well as obesity. So, of course, then you got the sleep treatments. A lot of times, you know, sleep apnea folks will get the CPAP machines. They don't like them. They're kind of clumsy and bulky, and they just don't like them. Plus, if you don't clean them very well, you run the risk of getting a lot of sinus and respiratory infections, which is another problem on top of that. So a lot of people don't like the CPAP machines because of all of that. And you have to sleep on your back. And some people don't like to sleep on their back. Some people like to sleep on their side or on their stomach or something. And the CPAP machine forces you, because you're hooked up to hoses, to sleep on your back. So physicians also advise patients they should reduce their weight, see a dentist, maybe get custom dental guard so that the lower jaw is positioned to allow for air to flow, all kinds of things. Here is a quote from Dr. Susan Redline. She's a clinical director, Division of Sleep and Circadian Disorders, Brigham Women's Hospital, Boston. She says, "We hope that these studies are focusing attention on the importance of sleep apnea in men and women who are historically underdiagnosed." Yeah, they don't connect the dots. You got so many different specialties. You know, you've got the psychological, depression, psychiatrists, you know, category, and then you've got the cardio category, and then you've got now the sleep category. Nobody's talking to one another as to how things are lining up and linking up. Now, there was a Yale study. Researchers at Yale conducted a study back in 07 to assess the risk of cardio events that got linked with the sleep apnea condition. They discovered that the severe cases of sleep apnea run the greater risk of developing heart disease and dying early. According to Dr. Naomi Shea of the Yale studies, she says the work was not the first of its kind, but it was a large study that was tracking the association of sleep apnea and heart disease and the outcomes of survival of heart attacks and mortality. She says that it suggests that the sleep apnea should be treated because it suggests it can lower the risk of the heart disease and heart attack risk. And she stated that also obesity factored in with increasing that risk. So she says our Yale study followed about 1,100 sleep apnea patients for about 5 years, monitored their heart attack, the coronary artery disease, and the need for maybe things like bypass surgery and other events and even death. So according to all this research, it was stated sleep apnea stimulates the body's fight or flight response. This reduces blood flow to the heart because it goes to the muscles, and repeated exposure many times a night of this happening starves the heart muscle of oxygen and weakens it. So there you have it. And who's at a high risk? Well, the Journal of Circulation back in October 2015 said you're at a greater risk of dying from sleep apnea complications if you're male. During the 14 years of this study, patients with severe sleep apnea, about 32%, tend to have enlarged hearts, cardiac events, and death. And if you had moderate sleep apnea, that was 30% of the group, they had experienced adverse heart problems. And those two groups were compared to women that didn't have sleep apnea to see what their risk factor was. And of course, men tend to have the complications of also being overweight, maybe diabetic, having the high blood pressure. So they were at a higher risk group than the females. Well, so let's look at this Rutgers University study, thyroid and sleep apnea and depression because I've uncovered information over the years and published reports on this. A lot of times in medical circles, you know, they don't connect the dots, okay? But this is an interesting study because when I was in herb stool, I had heard a presentation by one of our naturopaths that came in, and he said that he thought that sleep disruption and cardio issues were tied to the thyroid gland. Now, mind you, this is back in the 90s, early 90s, he said that. So in 2007, Rutgers University did some research on thyroid hormones that tend to regulate sleep. So Dr. Joseph Martin, he's a biologist, he found out how important the thyroid was, and it was important for sleep. Now, if you had your thyroid removed due to cancer, that forces you to have substitute hormones to help the body. And of course, you know, medicine doesn't always get that very delicate balance right. And then you're not sleeping and you're gaining weight and all kinds of things. So the thyroid, Dr. Martin found out how important the thyroid was because he lost his thyroid gland to cancer. So the thyroid hormones act as receptors on brain cells, and they actually act as neurotransmitters. And this affects the cellular activity and regeneration process when you sleep. So modern medicine thought your thyroid just regulated body temperature and weight, but more importantly, it has more function, and research is a leading scientist to understand that during sleep, the thyroid hormones help regulate the circadian rhythm of your sleep cycle and also helps regulate your brain to regulate breathing when you're sleeping so you don't have the sleep apnea problem. So the thyroid does that. So according to Dr. Martin, they're just beginning to understand the importance and extent of how the thyroid really works and what the hormones it manufactures, what impact that has on the body. So there's kind of like a chain reaction is what they're found out. Kind of an easy thing to understand, thyroid gland not getting the nutrients it needs. It won't produce the hormones that the body needs to support a lot of metabolic functions, including your nervous system, your cardio system, and your brain. Look at there, right? So if you don't have enough natural iodine that would feed the thyroid, then you're going to have sleep problems and possibly cardio problems and maybe even depression. So a little nutrition can cause that commotion. And so we don't have enough natural iodine in our plants anymore because they're not farming properly. They're not letting the land rest and the minerals come back in. And natural iodine is so much different. It's very different than synthetic. They found out synthetic iodine doesn't do what natural iodine can. So Celtic sea salt, seaweed have forms of natural iodine, but your highest concentration will be dark walnut. Okay, not the kind of dark walnut you cook with to make baked goods. It's the goo in the hull area that we're talking about that has that iodine, not the nut itself. So if you have the thyroid issue, what I have found over the years is I like to use black walnut in conjunction with mullein and Siberian ginseng. So black walnut will give the natural iodine to the gland. The mullein will soothe the thyroid gland that's exhausted already. And the Siberian ginseng offers a lot of energy to the body, metabolic support. So those three together typically will rebalance thyroid pretty quickly. And once the thyroid gets balanced, then the sleep apnea goes away. And so can the depression and the heart problems. Isn't that lovely? Just a little iodine. Look at there. Look at that. Now, if you're looking for some natural iodine, the folks at Apothecary Herbs do have the Celtic sun-dried salt that you can find some natural iodine in, but typically those with imbalances in thyroid, they're going to need the black walnut. That's what I have figured out over the years. So black walnut, the mullein, Siberian ginseng, they're all up there on the powerherbs.com website. You can look under sleep apnea because they're all there under the sleep apnea tab. Okay. They do have a heart and cardio section. So if you got to strengthen the cardio back, you can do that. They also have herbs to help with panic attacks, depression, and stress. If you just need a little bridge the gap there as you get rebalanced, they do have formulas for diabetes, brain concentration formulas, how to relax muscle and tension if you need help there, emotional stress formulas, all kinds of things, natural B vitamins in the body food mix to support the nervous system. So you've got power in your nutrients. And science knows this. Real important to have basic nutrients in that body if it's going to run right and you're going to be healthy and enjoy life the way you should. So the body food mix is a powder. You just mix in juice or water. It's available now in little stand-up pouches for portable reasons. Take it to work, take it on vacation, trip, or whatever. They do have it in the larger tubs, family size, if you want that. And you just put it in a smoothie if you want. And it super infuses the system with a lot of nutrients. But if the thyroid is the problem, you definitely need the black walnut. Now, if you're sensitive to the ginsengs, just don't use that. Just get black walnut and maybe the mullein. You can buy those separately as well. There's a search box up on the website at thepowerherbs.com where you can search out those formulas if you like. Or, hey, you can call and ask for a free product catalog, and you can mail in an order or phone in an order. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And there's a catalog hotline. You can leave your information there. You can also go up on the website, and if you want to download the catalog, you can. Or you can order one there. So it's all, the catalogs are free. So if you go online and request a catalog, you'll get one in the mail anyway, even if you want to download it. So that's a twofer if you want to look at it that way. So thepowerherbs.com. So if you can change your DNA in 6 days by going from a junk food diet to a healthy, clean diet, imagine what you can do with medicinal herbs, which are compacted nutrients. That's why they're bitter. And I know a lot of people don't like the way some of these herbs taste, and neither did my kids when they were little. And they would say, why do they taste so bad? And I explained, well, the strawberry's sweet. It's a nutritional plant. It's food. The herbs are medicinal plants. So God made them bitter, so you would only need a little bit and won't eat too much. That makes total sense to kids, and I know it makes total sense to you. And that's why they're bitter or hot, is because you're only supposed to use them in small amounts. That's how powerful they are. So thepowerherbs.com puts the power back in your hands with tools and information and product support that you're not going to get anywhere else. Give them a call, 866-229-3663, and find out how powerful you can be. Also, if you're on the website and you have email and you want to get the free online newsletters, just click on the Books and Newsletters tab, and you can sign up for free. The American Survival goes out on Tuesdays, and the Health Quest goes out on Fridays. So if you want a Health Quest that'll go out tomorrow, sign up today at thepowerherbs.com. I'm out of time, and the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.